Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, first seven verses. Remember, we have an aging Paul in prison in Rome writing his last letter to Timothy, and he encourages this young, timid Timothy. He sees his time on earth as drawing to an end, and he desperately wants the legacy of Christ to continue. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, no secrets, no secret hidden truth. The truth that Paul has passed along to Timothy has been out in the open and in the public eye." And he says, you've heard this in the presence of many witnesses. And what you've heard me say, Timothy, I've given to you. It was deposited in me, and now I am depositing such truth in you. And you entrust it to reliable men. Men who will do what with it? Who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul understands that his voice soon will no longer be heard on this earth. And what he has done with what has been entrusted to him, namely the Word of God, is Paul has entrusted it to Timothy. And not just Timothy, but here to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, "Timothy, you take this word and you entrust it to others who will be able to teach it." As young people, we think we have forever to live. And I know as young people, you don't think about leaving something behind, and you don't think about leaving this earth. But isn't it interesting as we grow older how those things come into focus and how the things that used to be important aren't quite so important anymore? Have you noticed that? I've heard about that happening when you grow older. Watch what he tells Timothy now in verse 3. Endure hardship. Persevere through difficulty. Endure hardship with us. How? Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Pray with me, please. Father, this is your truth. Your Spirit inspired the likes of Paul to pen these words. Sometimes I wonder if Paul really understood all that he wrote. Thank you, Father, for preserving the truth of your word these many years, and for making it so readily available to us in this country. Freely we read it. Freely we study it. Freely, unfortunately, at times we take it for granted. May it not be so this morning, Father. Would you give us eyes to understand what it is that we study? Would you give us ears to hear and minds to understand? Would you give us hearts to receive and hands to live out the truth that you would deposit in us this day? Help us to that end, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're invited this morning to the locker room of the Gamecock baseball team. And you're asked to fire them up, to get them ready for today's competition. They already lost yesterday. You cruel NC State fans. And now they're in the loser's bracket where it's difficult. They have to win today not one game, but they have to play two games and win both of them in order to play in the regional finals tomorrow. What do you tell that team? Some of you are already concocting your speech, losers, and things like that. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those of you who want to see them succeed. What do you tell them? UNC State fans are not welcome in this locker room. What do you tell these guys? They've already lost a game. A tough one at that, by one run. And now there's a team gunning for them this very day who wants to continue on. They're not going to be nice. They're not going to hit easy grounders to your infielders. They're going to try and crush you with the baseball. They're not going to be nice, and if it's close at first base, they'll step out of the way and let you come in. What do you tell them? And that's sort of the picture that I see here of Paul. Paul sees Timothy in this battle, and he talks to Timothy, and he has some words of encouragement. But the key that I want to focus on today in terms of what he has to say is, as you take this word of God and as you pass it along, he takes it for granted that you will have difficulty. And so he says to him, endure hardship. All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This word of God and the passing along of it to your children, to your co-workers, to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, the word of God and the responsibility of passing it along comes with a price tag. And the price tag is hardship. And Paul doesn't want Timothy to think for a moment that it's just all going to be smooth sailing. Some of you, once upon a time, believed a lie that if you followed after Christ and you sought to live out his word and share it with others, everything would just be peaches and cream. Anybody ever buy into that lie? And the first time you meet opposition, you're ready to bail. I must be doing something wrong. I'm here to tell you that as I read Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul makes it clear that if you're not encountering some sort of difficulty at some point along the road, maybe you've gotten off the right road. There will be hardship, and he says, endure it. But how do I endure it? And I like this particular passage because Paul has like three sermon sacks for him. And I don't think Paul is just saying to Timothy, here's one illustration, here's another illustration, here's another illustration. I think when Paul wrote these words, they are three illustrations of enduring hardship and how to do it. But there's a certain idea of what the hardship looks like wrapped up in each illustration. And there's a little nuance to how to deal with it in each of those illustrations. So let's look at it. First of all, he says you endure hardship as a combatant. And bear with me, I wanted three C words, and so these are the words that I came up with. And when I was wrestling to try and alliterate these words, I struggled with that word combatant. But the more I study this passage, the more I believe this is really what Paul wants to tell Timothy. It's not just the soldier in his dress blues and he looks nice and all of that. He's talking about a sure enough soldier in the middle of a war. Why is he using this illustration? Because he says, endure hardship. So what is it about a soldier that endures hardship? Look with me at the passage. Verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. So Paul's saying that civilian affairs are bad. Well, that's not what he says. He just says that the soldier has something else more important than civilian affairs. He doesn't have time for civilian affairs. Why not? Because he has a commanding officer who is ready for him. He's dependent upon his soldiers to be ready at a moment's notice, focused, always concerned with the commander's command. He has no time for the cares of this world. He's consumed with his commanding officer's orders. Now, this is interesting coming from Paul, who's in prison in Rome. And I got to wonder if Paul in Rome was, you know, with these Roman guards and talked to them and learned from them. And he grew up around that and he understood. But I can't help but wonder if Paul said, well, tell me what it's like. I mean, what had to happen when you started out? Did you always want to be a Roman soldier? According to Skinner, in the world dominated by the Roman Empire, nearly every young man dreamed of becoming a soldier in Caesar's army. If he was accepted, he had to take a life-changing oath, giving up all other loyalties and committing himself totally to Caesar. Everything he had, including his own life, belonged to his emperor. The young soldier no longer had any claim on himself. His emperor and the empire would be his reason for living. That solemn oath that turned a civilian into a committed soldier was in the Latin language, the sacramentum. Have you made that oath to your commanding officer? Everything you have is now his. You're willing to not concern yourself with civilian affairs, but with what God has called you to do and to be. Have you made that oath? So that it's not like, well, I'd like to live in this kind of house or that kind of house, and I'd like to drive this kind of car or that kind of car, or I'd like to work here, or I'd like to have that career. It's, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to live? What do you want me to drive? So that everything in my life is now his. Or are you still trying to play this, I'll do some of these worldly things and I'll do some of these things in serving God, and you're straddling the fence and it's painful. Paul said, Timothy, endure hardship like a soldier who is focused on his commanding officer. He does without the distractions. And the older I get, the more quickly I realize that life is too short to invest it foolishly. When all is said and done, what will be said of you? How would you have invested the time that you cannot purchase back? I don't care how much money you have. What will be said of you? What will people remember about you? Oh, he had a nice house. Oh, he had a nice car. Big whoop. Did you invest your life? Man, he did what his commanding officer told him to do. What a heck of a soldier he was for the king himself. What do you want on your tombstone? Hebrews 12:1 sort of paints the picture for us. In those first three verses, Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And if you read those three verses, there's a couple of things you'll discover about what Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 has to say. If you don't focus your eyes on the living Christ, you will be encircled by sin. See, right in the very beginning, he says, we have all these witnesses. Let's run the race with endurance. Let's throw off everything that enslaves us. It encircles us and traps us. And if you don't focus your eyes on Christ, if you don't know Christ, you are encircled by sin. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You may not think that you are. You may not believe that you are. But it doesn't change the reality of the fact that you are. And without Christ, there are no other options in dealing with sin. You're either encircled by it and trying to manage it, or you have given it to Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you don't, you will be encircled by sin. If you don't, verse 3 in Hebrews 12, you will grow weary. Any of you tried living the Christian life in your own strength? How's that working for you? Any of you try to put into practice the truth of the Word of God without His help? That doesn't work. You will grow weary rapidly. and you will lose heart. And so Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, fix your eyes on your commanding officer. Fix your eyes on him so that you won't lose heart, so that you won't quit, so that you won't grow weary, so that you won't be encircled by sin. Not only will fixing your eyes on Jesus protect you from being weary and losing heart and being encircled by sin, but fixing your eyes on Jesus, what will you see? You will see a servant. One who was humble in obedience to his Father, obedience to the point of death on a cross. You will see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, endure hardship like a soldier. Don't be distracted by the affairs of this world. You and I have to live. But the question is not for us alone. The question is, commanding officer, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to live? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to do with all that you've entrusted to me? A Civil War story is told of a soldier who happened to be a watchmaker. One day the bugle sounded, and the men were told to break camp. His words, but I can't go now. I have a dozen watches to prepare. When God blows the bugle in your camp, what's your response? But I can't go now because I have... And the soldier is willing to endure the hardship of denying himself and following his Christ. You endure hardship as a combatant. Never forget you are in the middle of a war. This is wartime. It's not practice. It's wartime. There's a real enemy who wants to really destroy you. And you need to listen to your commanding officer who understands the battle. You endure hardship not only as a combatant, but as a competitor. Go on to verse 5. Similar to the verse 4, the soldier, verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The competitor subjects himself or herself to the rules of the game. How many competitors in our day have been stripped of their title or their crown or their medal because they didn't play by the rules? How many more should have been disqualified because they didn't play by the rules? In Paul's day, there were the Greek games. Stott tells us that every sport has its rules. Always for the contest, and sometimes even for the training itself, there were certain rules. Even high school coaches and athletic directors have to know more than they're capable of knowing in terms of all the details of you can have this many people on the field in this month and not that many in that month, and you can practice this many times and that many hours, and he can throw this many pitches but not one more. And the rules are crazy. And what happens? Well, schools get disqualified. Infractions happen. Every event also had its prize. Do you know what the prize was in the Greek games? Maybe a gold medal? Maybe a silver statue? No, it was an evergreen wreath. You don't think those people practiced? You don't think they trained? You don't think they worked hard? For what? They played according to the rules so that they might receive a green wreath. And of course, what comes with it in terms of being the best, being the competitor who wins. And Paul tells Timothy, and I think thus tells us, endure hardship like a competitor who's willing to subject himself to all kinds of difficulty, weight training, all kinds of training, so that he can compete according to the rules. Some of you have heard me tell the story of a friend of mine from college, Mark Ingenthaler. He was a successful long-distance runner in high school. His method when he was visiting another school when he competed was to run behind their lead runner. And he would follow him every step of the way through the race, through the marathon. And then at the end, he would kick and he would overpower their lead runner and he would win the race. Repeatedly, I think he did that. And on one particular occasion, Mark followed their lead runner. Only problem is that their lead runner was a decoy. He wasn't really their lead runner. And so he led Mark off course and brought him back around to the finish line, and Mark did what Mark knew to do, and he passed him and overpowered him at the finish line and thought he had won the race. And then he found out that he had been disqualified because he didn't run the course. And Paul says to Timothy, run like a competitor who understands the competition and plays by the rules. Who are you following? What's your rule book? This better be it. And the challenge to walk in the grace that's ours, isn't that what he says back in verse 1? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's interesting how these fit together. You have the soldier who's focused on the commanding officer, and you have the competitor who endures the hardship for the glory of running the race according to the rules that he might win. Some of you may be running the wrong race, and it's time to get back on track and follow after your Christ. Endure hardship as a competitor. Endure hardship as a combatant. You endure hardship as a cultivator. Farming is kind of like a war with the soil, isn't it? Endure hardship as a cultivator. In verse 6, he identifies the hardworking farmer as the one who should be the first one to receive the fruit of his labor. Go with me to Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs chapter 10. That's Old Testament for some of you who are. Proverbs chapter 10. I feel like y'all need to stand up and do some jumping jacks or something. Either you're half asleep, I'm not sure. Okay, you're not. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. And stay in Proverbs for a minute because I want to point out a couple of verses. Proverbs 10, 5. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son. But he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Flip over to chapter 20, verse 4. What a great word picture in verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season. Any time to plow. I don't feel like it today. I'm watching TV. I'm bored. I'm busy. I'm sleepy. A sluggard doesn't plow in season. So at harvest time, he looks and finds nothing. Duh. Chapter 24. Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. Everyone enjoys watching the garden grow. Few like to battle the elements. Work the soil, water the plants, protect from frost, pull the weeds, stake up the plants. Labor, toil, endure hardship as a cultivator, one who wages war with the soil and wins. And Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, be a soldier, be a combatant. one who does what his commanding officer says, because I want you to understand that your commanding officer sees the whole picture. He sees the battlefield. He knows when the enemy is coming. He's like AWACS up there, that plane that sees everything on the battlefield. And God sees what it is that the enemy's attempting to do to destroy you. And he says, no, not there. Time to break camp. Move over here. How many of us are not focused on the commanding officer? Hang on a minute, God. I think we ought to stay here a little bit longer, because if we stay right here in this camp, then, you know, instead of going, yes, sir, Lord, you know what's happening on the battlefield. I'm following you everywhere. Don't be distracted. Be focused. Give him everything. And as a competitor, one who is willing to know God's truth and abide by it, playing by the rules so that you will win the prize. And as a cultivator, one who labors, one who is hardworking. Now see, this is kind of cool how God brings it all together in verse 7. What does he say? He says to Timothy, Timothy, reflect on what I am saying and you'll figure it all out. That's not what he says. This is what I think I see Paul doing in this text. He says, Timothy, you have a responsibility to be a good soldier. You have a responsibility to be a good athlete. You have a responsibility to be a good farmer. But let me tell you something. It still won't amount to anything unless God does it. Timothy, here's what I'm telling you. Reflect on what I'm saying, and for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. As you think about the truth of the Word of God, as you meditate on it, as you chew it over like a cow its cud, if you chew on the Word of God, God will make it clear to you. God will open it up. God will bring the produce. I can do everything that I need to do in my garden, but I can't make those plants grow. I can provide everything that they need, but somehow God makes them grow. And so Paul says to you here in this passage, endure the hardship. Focus as a good combatant. Train hard to win the prize, as a competitor does. Be a hardworking cultivator of the soil. Take the Word of God with due diligence. Read it, study it, memorize it, teach it. I'm not a teacher. Teach it to your brother or sister, to your mom or your dad, to your children, to your next door neighbor, to the people you work with, to the people you go to school with. You are a walking billboard. Don't be distracted. Endure the hardship. Expect it. Endure the hardship. And watch the produce that God will produce in your life. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that the produce business is yours. And thank you that you call us to be responsible in the process of bearing fruit. We don't just sit around like lazy, sluggard farmers. We need to be focused like soldiers, focused on our commanding officer. We need to be diligent trainers, understanding the rules of the competition, understanding the rules of your grace, the goodness of your grace, and what it looks like in our lives. And Father, we need to be hardworking cultivators of the soil. We carry the truth of your word. I pray that we would pass it on in life, in word. Would you produce your fruit in and through us? For your glory we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.